Father, what a great declaration to you. To you goes all the glory because you have all the authority and power and strength. God, we lift your name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus, the name that at one point every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. Lord, would you hear the cries of your people this morning? Lord, I pray this morning as we dive into your word that you would speak in power and in truth and allow these words of scripture to, Father, challenge us and teach us. And Lord, we're going to talk about a prayer meeting like no other. And I pray, Lord, we would experience the same thing this morning, that it would change us from the inside out. God, would you move? Would you stir our hearts as our hearts are really already stirred? Would you stir them to response? Because, Lord, when we gather together, we know there's something different, something you want us to do in response to what we experience and what we listen and hear from your Spirit that would instruct us to do. So, God, may we hear it and not be just hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word in our lives. God, would you hide me behind the cross? I'm not worthy to share this message. But God, I thank you that you would use me. God, speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have a copy of God's word, if you would take it and turn to Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse number 23. In Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse number 23, we pick up our story that has really consumed us over the last couple of Sundays and even stretching all the way back to September when we really started this series, Men of Courage. And thinking about this idea, this incredible event that takes place that God has ordained from the beginning of time, and we talked about last week that Jesus could have healed this man in the temple while he was on earth, but he chose not to because God knew that this moment would need to take place in order to give the disciples this incredible sign that they could show forth the glory of God. Remember, this guy's been crippled for over 40 years. He's been sitting by this place in the temple where if you jumped in the water first, you would possibly be healed. And so this guy is there in his usual place, and Peter and John come along, and he asked for alms, what he had done every day. And Peter and John said, we don't have any of that, but what we do have is the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, you stand up and walk. And what happens? Incredible miracle of God takes place. And this guy jumps up and begins to praise and glorify God. And all of Jerusalem is stirred up. And all of Jerusalem hears what's happening. And so, not that a riot takes place, but I mean, this is like creates a massive movement of people that are like, wow. So much so that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin find out about it. And they have to do something about it because they find out that it's these same disciples that were disciples of Jesus. And they were teaching and preaching and doing miracles in the name of Jesus. So the crowd gathers and Peter stands up once again and begins to preach and proclaim the word of God. And that they must be saved. And the very one who crucified Christ, he tells them that. Then they are arrested and drugged to jail and forced to spend the night overnight in jail. And would love to have been a fly on the wall. I wish we had some of their scripture that would tell us what they were talking about in jail that night. Most likely, as we'll talk about in Acts chapter 12 in just a second, the other disciples were gathered together in prayer. They were praying fervently and passionately for, most likely, the release of Peter and John. These were the first, really, to be arrested. There had been persecution before this point. Even when Jesus was here, there were many who had already been kicked out of the local assembly of Jewish believers, of the synagogue. There's the word. And so there had been persecution, but not somebody being arrested like this. They were praying. It was part of their pattern. We'll talk about it in a moment. Much like we've been praying over this weekend, praying fervently and passionately and maybe fasting and praying, God, do a miracle here. I pray. The next morning comes and Peter and John stand before the council and the incredible boldness of these men as they're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, boldly proclaim the truth of the Word of God. And they don't mince any words. Peter says it just like Jesus said it. And after this point, they bring them back, and we talked about last week their response and what they needed to do, and they said, you got to stop speaking this name. It's fine if you talk about God, but don't be talking about this Jesus guy. Leave him out of the equation. They threatened them. They didn't know what else to do, but just like really, and then so they threatened him a second time, like, listen, we threatened you the first time, but we are super, super duper serious. We were serious, but now we're really serious. You better stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And so then we find the disciples go back to their followers, the followers of Jesus. And what we might expect, I don't know about you and me, but I just stop and think about, what would I do? What would my conversation be as I go back? Man, that was terrible. That was horrible. We had to spend the night in jail. If any of you know me very well, I do not do well in confined spaces. You need to pray that you never get stuck in an elevator with me, ever. Talk about a Mexican jumping bean. That would be me. I mean, it would be a disaster. I do not like, and the thought of being in jail, O'Sheriff's Deputy Garner, and being handcuffed in the back of a patrol car is enough to keep me on the straight and narrow. Some of you don't have that fear, but I do. I mean, taking my freedom away, whoa, that's horrible to me. I can't think of anything worse. I've been coming back whining and complaining about how terrible it was and how awful the food was and how awful the service was, and room service was terrible. Right? That would have been awful. And here, watch what these disciples say. It's extraordinary. And then watch what God does because of what they were doing and how they responded to the situation they found themselves in. Folks, here's the deal. We're going to find ourselves in situations, maybe not being persecuted like they were. Though it certainly seems we're headed that way, we're not there yet. And so most of us can go about our lives. We can share the gospel. We can do what we want to do this week. And nobody's going to do anything about that for the most part. But maybe, just maybe, we take the application of some difficult circumstances in your life occur, and how do we act? How do we respond? What do we do? We got to do like the disciples did. Look at what happens in verse number 23. You were standing a long time, so I'm going to let you stay seated this time. But here's what it says. And when they had been released, they went to their own companions, back to the church, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, did say, why do the Gentiles rage and the people devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city they were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom you did anoint both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant us that you would get them out of office. Lord, that you would protect us and help this to never happen again. Lord, help us never have to go to jail again. None of you are saying a word. Are y'all awake yet? Good night. Is that in your Bible? I'm just testing you because some of you are a little sleepy on this Thanksgiving morning. You haven't even had turkey yet. Come on now. Here we go. Listen, verse 29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders to take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Wow! Have you ever been in a place where you had prayed and you had worshiped God with the people of God in such a fashion that God responded in such a way that your life was literally shaken? Folks, I want to be really clear. Every time we gather, my prayer and my desire and your prayer and your desire should be that God would shake this place. Let me try that one more time. Let me rewind that. Every time we gather together to worship the living God, the Creator God, the God of the universe who saved your life and mine, when we gather together, our desire, our motivation, our hope, our prayer is not just to show up and sing a song and say, well, that was cool, I like that song, it was too loud, it's too cold, it's whatever, I got this, I thought the preacher was too loud, whatever. No, it's that we would meet with God and we'd be impacted in such a way that our lives are forever changed and shaken. We live in a day, we don't want anybody to shake up our lives. We like it just like, and I'm number one, I don't like for God to shake up my life. I like it just like it is. And you're like that too. We're kind of going down this path and all of a sudden, whoa! This week has been one of those weeks. It's not easy to sit down and have a conversation with a 10-year-old girl about what heaven's about if she dies. That certainly was not on their agenda, and I'll promise you it wasn't on mine. But here's the question that begs and stands before us. Are we willing for God to shake and change our lives for the glory of His name? Even if that means, dear church, that you have to be uncomfortable, that things don't work out like you planned or you thought should work out this certain way. And God's got to bring us to that place where our desire is, God, we want you to shake us. Their lives were shaken. And I don't mean just shaken. The building was shaken, we believe. Well, let's jump into the outline this morning quickly because I've got to get there. We've got to participate in the Lord's Supper together. Look what it says. First of all, notice their pattern. I want you to notice their pattern. And this is really critically important. We have a lot of patterns, a lot of habits. What was the early disciples and the early church's patterns and habits? What did they do? Well, Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Let me just read this to you quickly. When Peter is arrested again, notice again, we'll get to him getting arrested later. Peter's going to spend another night in jail. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. I don't believe it was any different than this. When he goes back to this same gathering, they had been doing three things. Number one, they come back and they share together. They shared together. What did they share? They were sharing their lives. Here's what I don't think would happen. Let me give you the Brad version. Here's what didn't happen. They did not walk in from the jail and going, hey, how was it? Or how are things? Good, great, fine. Man, it's great. Life's good. You doing good? Man, doing good. Doing great. Doing great. Doing great. Keep on walking. How's life? Man, it's good. It's great. It's great. Good. Man, good. How about you? Man, it's good. It's great. It's great. It's good. My gosh, you think you come to a typical church and you think that nobody has a problem of any kind or any sort. It's all good. Now listen, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Absolutely, 100% yes. But there can be times when you and your life, when it is not all good. Right? There are days when things don't work out like you like. And so when you come in this building, we want to be a people of God who share life together. I don't think there were high fives like, yo, the prison was awesome. Let's go do that again tonight. They didn't say to Pontius, to the Sanhedrin, hey, we'd like to spend another night in jail. That was so fun. Can we stay another night? We'd like to get some frequent flyer miles over here. We're going to stay an extra night, right? No way. It had to have been hard. They shared life together. Folks, as the body of Christ, we're called to share life together. To be real and honest and transparent and open about who we are and where we are and the struggles we're dealing with. And not put on the plasticky grin that, listen to me, that lost people cannot relate to. They can't relate to, hey, how are you? Fine, good, great, God bless you, brother. They don't relate to that. They go, what? My life's not like their life. Their life is perfect. Now, it doesn't mean that we're coming unglued and coming apart over where we are, but that we're honest and open saying, man, I'm struggling. Being real. If any of us are honest this week and you've really engaged in prayer this week for the Marino family, the Hudson family, and others, if you're being real, you have struggled with God this week. You've asked some questions of God this week. You've wondered and thought, God, what's going on? That's real, by the way, church. We've all been there. The issue is, do we talk about it and share together? They shared together. The second thing they did, they prayed together. Their normal pattern and habit was praying together. Now, we lovingly joked about Wednesday night. We thought about maybe just doing Thanksgiving supper every single Wednesday and Sunday for the rest of the year ever. 300 and something people showed up. It was marvelous. I wonder if we would have called a special prayer meeting over a particular issue. Maybe we said we need to really pray about our finances, which we do. I wonder how many would have showed up and paid $10 to show up. Don't you wonder? Can I be honest with you? We could have all fit in the office probably, or maybe the conference room. Why? Because the thought of coming and praying at church, we think, what's the point? I can pray at home. I can pray in my car. But you notice the pattern of the early church, and you see it over and over and over again. And one of the things that we're going to see in 2016, one of the things we're planning and preparing for, one of the key words you're going to hear out of the mouth of this preacher and out of the mouth of our leadership, and here's the word, prayer. And we're going to pray like we've never prayed before. We've prayed a lot. We're going to pray a lot more. We're going to pray a lot more Wednesday nights than we're praying, and the preacher's going to shut up and quit talking so much. We're going to pray. We're going to pray more in our services. We're going to pray more in our life groups. And listen to me carefully. We're not going to pray. We can talk about these things. Listen to me carefully when I say this. We're not going to pray about my Aunt Sally's cousin's long distance fourth cousin's removed bunion on their toe. I'm sorry if you have bunions, but just, you know, you get the idea. Right? Nobody knows your fourth cousin's aunt's furthest removed from your stepsister's brother from long lost ago. They don't know. And I'll be honest with you, if you're really honest, they're not going to remember when they walk out that door who that person was. Most of us, especially ADD ones, we don't even remember it when we leave the building. It's gone. So I always tell people, if you give me a prayer request, you better write it down and give it to me on a piece of paper, or you better email me. And I want to remember really bad. I mean, like, it's a desire. I'm saying, all right, remember, brain. And my brain goes, ha, 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 not a chance. We want to pray. Are you following me? We got to pray. One of the things we discover of churches where God is moving in extraordinary ways is that a church where they pray and they pray and they gather together to pray. If God's going to reach the Sangal Sakadao people group, one of the things they're going to come away with our team is, and I'm robbing their thunder, but one of the things they came away from the conference is, we've got to pray. And we've got to pray specifically, not God bless our missionaries. And when we pray that, God goes, well, which ones? Where are they? What are they doing? We want to pray specifically for encounters for our people, for the pastors that we've met. We want to pray for the river. We want to pray for the churches. We want to pray for the areas around the mosque. We want to pray and pray and pray that God would reach our people. No different than we want to pray for Paddle. No different than we want to pray for us. Pray, pray. It was their pattern. They shared together and they prayed together. Notice when they prayed together, by the way, they were in one accord. Look, I got to read you this quote. We're not going to get very far. This is going to be a two-part message. Y'all have got me riled up. It's your fault. All right. Notice this. Notice this, what it says. Too often today, Warren Wiersbe says, believers gather for prayer as though attending a concert or a party. There is little sense of urgency and danger. Watch this. This is going to sting if you let it. Because most of us are comfortable in our Christian walk. If more of God's people were witnessing for Christ in their daily life, there would be more urgency and blessing when the church meets for prayer. This altar would be full of people saying, oh God, I know I've got to share Christ this week, but I am scared to death, and I'm afraid they're not going to listen to me, but oh God, I know that I must share. And we're falling on our face before God saying, oh God, would you give me the courage and the boldness to share? And our prayer requests would go far beyond the one I mentioned earlier, but it would be specific. Please pray for my coworker. They're lost. They don't know Jesus, and I'm afraid they're going to die and go to hell. Lord, please pray for my family member. God, please pray for my neighbor. God, please pray for my coworker. Pray. Do you get the sense of urgency in my voice? That's a powerful word. The reason we don't pray, because we're not desperate. We're not on the edge going, we really need God. God, if you don't show up, this is not going to happen. God, if you don't move in a mighty way, this is not going to happen. And I'll be honest, we got a home crowd here tonight. There's very few guests in here, I don't think, maybe a couple of you. I'll just tell you one thing you can be praying for. Our finances right now, they stink. Can I be honest? Can I just use that word? Is that good? Can we just be real? How are your finances? They stink. Praise God. No, they stink. It's got me on my knees. It's going to tell you, be honest with you, we're going to talk about this in December too. We get ready for our church ministry plan. We're about to have to make some cuts in what we're doing as a church family because the money's not there. We got to pray. That makes me a little desperate to pray. I talked to our finance team about this. We were kind of having some discussion. They said, preacher, you haven't said it plain enough. Okay, let me be plain. All right? We need a record November and December to get us caught up. Okay? We got some money in the bank, and many of you are giving faithfully and sacrificially, and so some of you that I love dearly, some of you get panicked going, oh, I'm not giving enough. You are. This is not for you. For others to feel called and compelled to give, because there is much, church family, for us to do. We have things that are right there on the tip of where we want to go and things we're going to do. We're going to have to, we've already decided until finances pick up, we're not going back to our people group because we can't afford to help underwrite the cost because to get over there is expensive. We've got to help our folks get there. We can't do it right now. I don't know about you, but that stinks. And we're committed to do backpacks, and many of you have helped do that, but we want you to give through the church budget to make that happen. If that's not going to happen, we may have to cut back on that at some point. I don't say that for you to go and give extra money to backpacks. Listen to me carefully. I want you to give to the church ministry plan. Our first call is to give. So I got to pray. My sermon's not on giving. I promise it's on praying. And what do we pray? We pray together about the same thing. The Bible says they were praying in one accord. What does that mean? It was not a Honda Accord, okay? It's not that kind of accord, all right? What does that mean? Right? They were praying about the same thing. How do they know to pray about the same thing? I believe the leadership of the disciples said these are things you need to be praying about. And what were they praying for? Well, notice what their prayers were in a minute. Well, next week we'll notice, or 2 weeks from now we'll notice what they were. But they're praying specifically, the ultimate aim they're praying for is for God's glory to be spread among Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That is their prayer. They weren't all praying about 900 different things. They were praying about the same thing. Now, out of praying for God's glory to come comes a lot of different things, doesn't it? There's a lot of ministries in our church. There's a lot of ministries that we want to start. There's some people that God's been speaking to about some ministries to our community. We want to reach to adults. Some things like Celebrate Recovery, some things like English as a Second Language, some things like helping adults who have kindergarten-age children who can't read to their kindergartner. Things like financial peace for our members and maybe those in their community. They're people that are really burdened about prayer, offering, and beginning a prayer ministry. But all those things and the others we're already doing and the new things we believe God would call us to do, listen to me carefully. They all have one thought. Here they are. For the glory and the honor of the name of Jesus. And to see fully devoted followers of Christ, those completely committed to following Christ, to be radically transformed so that we can radically transform our community. How do we do that? We connect on a deep level. We grow deeper. We commit greater and we go. Can you imagine sitting in a place, and I'll be honest with you, I've not had it happen many times. I've been in a place or two where the presence of God was so real. I can remember a couple of times in my church in Alabama. There were some desperate times. Sometimes we lost a pastor. I remember one time in particular, our pastor, I'd been there about 9 months. I got there, the pastor left. He went to a church that was about 9 minutes from where we were. And our church was devastated. We were a rural country church. It was a city church. I'll never forget the day the search committee came in. They were from a city church, and they all five, they looked like the FBI. They all had black suits on, all of them. They drove up in the church van into the parking lot and paraded in like, here we are. And our church was devastated when we left. I'll never forget a moment when we got on our knees before God at the altar, and it was a very small altar. There was only two steps. And we prayed fervently. And it was one of those moments you get up, and if you've ever been a part of this, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe, and there's been some moments like this at First Baptist too, by the way, where you get up and you just want to simply hug every person that you just prayed with. It's like there's this connectedness. It's like we're all praying about the same thing at the same time, and there's a power in that. And God answers those kinds of prayers when His people are desperate and they gather together to pray. And sometimes it's not so much as a building being shaken and cracks in the walls as it is our lives being shaken. Because what was the result? And I'll close with this. Here's the result. The Bible says once the place was shaken, they were full of the Holy Spirit. Notice, they did not begin to speak in some crazy language. They did not start running around the room. They did not start doing and knocking people out for the glory of God. What does it say they did? Notice, this is important. What does it say they did? They, when they were filled with the Spirit of God, they were filled with boldness and began to speak about God. Folks, when we gather together, it ought to be a place where we are emboldened to speak about God. In our lives and who He is. You never know when those opportunities are going to open. I went to Blair Batson Hospital on Thursday, and I visited with Eli Hudson and talked with him a little while, and he wanted Hot Pockets, so I had to go run to the grocery store because I asked him about Hot Pockets, and he asked like 19 times for Hot Pockets, and so I ran to the grocery store and got in some Hot Pockets. He's six. He wanted Hot Pockets. So I got in some Hot Pockets, visited with Tony for a little while, and then I discovered another family that's up there. The little boy is 2 years old. His name is Raleigh. If any of you know who that is, I just need to ask you, because somebody told me about this family last week, and I have no idea who told me. Denise Emmon. Okay, I need to know more about them, because I met the mom and dad. Dad works offshore 3 weeks, been gone for 3 weeks, works all the way almost to Mexico, 3-hour helicopter ride, comes back home, 4 hours to the hospital, laying in bed with his 2-year-old son who has blastoma, which is tumors in his brain. He's 2. I walk in the room. He's got a port attached to his back with a little clip so he won't pull the port out. 2 now. He's not pushing a stroller. He's pulling his IV thing with him down the hallway. And I got a chance just to say, I want you to know, we've never met you, but our church family, well, I'll have to ask him permission first, but we'd like to adopt you. We don't go to church anywhere. I said, well, we would love to have you at our church when you're able. But until then, we want you to know we're going to be willing to pray for you and help you walk this battle. To speak the mercies of God. Are we ready for those moments that they come? I was at an event not long ago, and we were going to this event, and I asked this person, and I was there. We were there. My family was there. We were doing something, and I said, well, what church do you go to? And they very quickly said, we're not religious. Well, all righty. It's a little bit of a take back for the old preacher to try to have a conversation with, but okay, no problem. Didn't know who they were. Well, it turns out they work for somebody else who is a member of this church. As we began a conversation, and I began to smile. And I thought to myself, sovereign God of the universe, I can hardly wait. Because a lot of people think preachers are super weird. And we are. I know. And we are a little bit out there, and you know, we're not normal. And we're not. One of my greatest desires is to be normal. So I hope that when you see me in Walmart or on the baseball field or at the football field cheering for the Petal Panthers, and I hope when you see me with my kids you know what I want you to know? I'm the same person. So I'm loud in a restaurant. I'm loud in the pulpit. I'm loud in a shopping a store where my wife's trying on clothes and she comes out and looks really pretty. I'm loud there too, much to her embarrassment. Wow, I'll say. Shh. That's just who I am. But I thought to myself, I can hardly wait to look at this couple, because Jesus is going to save them. I'm going to pray for them. I've already been praying for them. God put them with us. We didn't plan it that way. We didn't say, hey, y'all group together and go find somebody that's not religious. It just happened that way. And I thought to myself, and I smiled, the lengths that God goes to save our wretched souls. And one of them will smile at them and look at them and say, it all started back then when God put the two of us together. I didn't share the gospel that day because it was not the time or place, because they were not religious. So that wasn't the time or place. The time or place was to see that believers and followers of Christ are real and not plastic. And I had my two kids and my precious screaming daughter over here and my beautiful wife, and we got to interact with them. That's what it's about, in order to share the gospel. The last thing for our time of invitation. I have no doubt the disciples gathered together that night and shared the Lord's Supper together. It doesn't tell us this in Scripture. But when there was a sense of moment of being together, they shared the Lord's Supper together. Now, something we do as deacons and go and share the Lord's Supper around the holidays with our shut-ins, because they don't get to come to church and do that. And that's certainly significant. But they would love to be here. I'll tell you why. Because there's something incredibly significant about taking the Lord's Supper together. Because it is there we are reminded of who Jesus is and what he did for us and the price that he paid. And it should shake our hearts. But before we do that, a time of invitation this morning to give you and I a chance to respond to what Jesus is doing inside of our hearts privately. Do you know Christ as Savior and Lord? Has there been a moment you've asked him to step out of heaven and into your heart? It's so simple. You can ask him, ask him to forgive you of all of your sins. Admit that you are a sinner, that you've fallen short of the glory of God. Believe that he is God's only Son who came and lived a perfect life but died a sinner's death so that you could have a perfect life, a life in heaven, in eternity, and a life here on earth. And see, to confess him as your Savior, I cannot save myself, and commit your life to him as Lord for the rest of your days. You can do that this morning. Maybe you need to come join this church family and step over the line and say, God's calling us to be a part. Maybe you've already asked Christ into your heart, but you've never made it public. This is your opportunity. Maybe you just want to come and pray and say, God, I want you to shake up my life. Maybe you want to come pray for the Marino family. Maybe something in your life. Whatever it is, let's be obedient. Father God, I thank you this morning for the time we've gathered together in your presence. And God, I pray as we come to the most important time of our service. There is no more important time, Lord, we gather to respond to you. God, we have encountered your presence. We have sung the songs of worship to you. We have prayed together. We have listened to your word together. But now, Lord God, the moment comes where we really say, why did we come? Because, God, the question we need to be asking ourselves is, God, what do I need to do in response to what I've heard? For some of us, Lord, it's to find Christ as Savior and Lord. For some, it's to come to be baptized. For some, it's to join this church family. For others, it's to come to this altar and pray. For some of you, it's to go to somebody else in this room and say, would you pray for me? I need to hear somebody pray my name out loud to the Father. For others, there's something on your heart. Maybe God's calling you to be a person of prayer, to be real and encourage others to be real by how you model that, to live your life in such a fashion. God, whatever it is we need to do, I pray we'd be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Would you fill this place? Would you shake us and not let us be satisfied with leaving without seeing a response to you, our living God? Would you move right now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand to worship with us. Chris and I at the front to receive.